broadcasting live from atop the Rocky Mountains, the crossroads of the West. You are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
All right. Happy to have you along, my fellow Americans. Sam Bushman and Kirk Cosby live on your radio. Hard-hitting news the networks refuse to use, no doubt, continues now. This is the broadcast for December the 26th in the year of our Lord, 2019. This is hour two of two, and the goal always to protect life, liberty, and property, and to promote God, family, and country on your radio and the traditions of our founding fathers. Yes, indeed, ladies and gentlemen, we use the blueprint for liberty, the supreme law of the land, the Constitution for the United States of America as our guide, and absolutely the checks and balances brilliantly put in place by the founding fathers, one of the great peaceful restorative solutions we have at our fingertips. Welcome. Hard-hitting talk at your fingertips. We had Brian Rust on last hour talking about honest money. We also talked about the President Donald Trump and First Lady's 2019 Christmas message. Phenomenal. They wished us a Merry Christmas and urged us to consider caring for the needy. Good work, folks. Operation Shock and Claws. The Shock and Claws phenomenon has been making its way around social media and in restaurants near you. Random acts of kindness in nearly every state across the country. Let's make it every state. Let's have copycats. Let's spread the love, ladies and gentlemen. Mom of five overcome with emotion when customers at Waffle House surprised her with an $800 tip. I commend them. Trump accepts Pelosi's invitation for the State of the Union address February the 4th. Be ready for that, sucker. And the Supreme Court to decide who picks Catholic school teachers. It's a rerun of the 2012 lawsuit. Beckett Fund doing a phenomenal job behind the scenes working on that and defending religious liberty. But the idea that the Supreme Court is even going to revisit this is shocking to me. It's scary that they're going to do it. I hope it'll be a slam dunk to defend the Catholics. Again, whether it's the Catholics or the Jews or the Protestants or, you know, any denomination, I wish people would realize. Because here's what comes, Kurt. First, it's the schools, and then later it's parents. They'll pretty soon say parents don't have the right to teach what they want to either. And that's where we're going. The real strike for the enemies of liberty is the heart of society, the fundamental unit of society, the family. That's where they're really headed. Religious schools right now are just extensions of families. The church is usually in support of the family. And so this is very scary indeed. Do you have any more on this one, Kurt?
I don't really have any more to add on that one.
All right. No. It's critical to understand that, though, ladies and gentlemen. They're coming for your Christian beliefs. They're coming for the family is where they're really coming. And eventually they'll be like, hey, you know, parents can't just teach kids like, you know, things like, you know, hey, sex is a wonderful God-given ordained thing, but only to be used within the bounds the Lord has set. You're not going to be, you know, allowed to teach that kind of stuff if these people get their way and continue to incrementally destroy the moral high ground. All right, Kurt, how come, by the way, welcome to the broadcast.
Buenos dias. Greetings and salutations. Howdy, howdy, howdy.
I got a question. You always start out the broadcast by speaking Spanish. And that's fine, except for you should at least bust out a Feliz Navidad or something like that.
Feliz Navidad.
How come you don't roll with that, Kurt?
Well, around Christmas time. It just seems like it just, you know, forget to do all the things I need to get done, you know.
I know. I'm just thinking it's kind of cool, that's all.
Yeah.
You know, just wish everybody a Feliz Navidad and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. By the way, Jeffrey Epstein, they say he committed suicide. I don't believe it for a second. Nevertheless, here's the interesting thing. Epstein's first suicide attempt failed, they claimed. And prosecutors claimed in court, Kurt, that surveillance footage from that July 23rd incident has gone missing. Okay, that's what they said.
What a shocking thing.
But don't worry, Kurt. Don't worry. It's okay, buddy.
Yeah, they can recreate.
Then they said it looks like there's video footage of Jeffrey Epstein's cell after all. This after federal prosecutors said earlier in the week that footage was gone. It had gone missing. Now, Kurt, what do you say to this? Do you want to respond to this at all?
Well, I mean, it's at least in my opinion, it's in the long list of the Clinton body count, you know, et cetera. And you just see this so many times, Sam. Hey, man, if it was you or I, hey, that'd be full stuff on you maybe not completely stopping at a stoplight, but hey, when it comes to them, it's just like, well, I mean, it's just kind of missing the paperwork there. The film just didn't work, you know. I mean, it just goes on and on, you know.
Yeah, so I find it fascinating. And the question that I would have is, how do we know, Kurt, if it went missing? Just let me be honest here for a second. If it went missing and now they found it, how do they know that it's not tampered with? I'm kind of a redneck. I'm kind of ignorant.
Well, here's how they know, Sam. They always tell you this. You know, it'll be right after a big shooting, maybe at a subway or something like that. And then they'll say, "Oh, we know this wasn't a terrorist attack." You know, I mean, it's just it's just the way they're lying. You know, Sam. That's the bottom line.
Yeah, but I look at it and say, if it went missing. You know, and then you say, oh, how we found it. How do you know you found the right one? Or how do you know you didn't find a edited or a tampered or a copy of? Or how do you know that it's for sure been, what's the term they use, Kurt? Is it custody of evidence or am I kind of ignorant here? It's kind of like the ballot box, you know. They're like, hey, we found a bunch of ballots over here. Glad we found them. It's like, how do you know that it's all legit and on the up and up and stuff? How do you know there's not somebody running games or something? I don't get it, Kurt. I'm not very smart, but I just don't understand it. We're supposed to trust now that they lost it and they found it? Don't worry, no harm, no foul? This is in a case that's already questionable on so many fronts, it's shocking. And then this? Anyway, Epstein's first suicide attempt, they lost the footage, and now they say, don't worry, looks like there is video footage after all. They didn't say the original footage, Kurt, or anything like that. They just said there's video footage after all. Does that make you wonder, too? Or is that just, you know, the reporters not getting the words right?
Oh, Sam, you mean since it's been so long, they might have doctored the, you know, thing?
I don't know. I just know if it went missing and stuff. I'm not trusting the custody of evidence here.
You think? I mean, what if it was an election and the ballots had just, like you mentioned, had just disappeared for a couple weeks or, I don't know, a month or something, and then somebody says, well, we found them.
Yeah, Larry put them behind the bookshelf there for safekeeping is all. Yeah, I mean, it's like, what? Oh, Steve had them in his trunk. You know, he was coming back from the elections, and he took them to make sure that they were legit. And then he, you know, didn't. Well, he got busy and went on vacation. He meant to put them back before he left. But don't worry. They've been safely locked in his trunk the whole time, Kurt. It's okay. See, I'm not buying the stories that we get, Kurt. And the sad part is I wish I could trust my government. I wish I could say, you know what? When they say that it's all okay, we can believe that it is because history shows that. The problem is, Kurt, history and reality shows the opposite. That, you know what? There's shenanigans all through this thing. Government says suicide. Independent forensic whatever autopsy doctor says, oh no, there's something going on here. You know, why all of a sudden the paperwork fudged by and lied regarding by the folks that were on staff at the time that night? Why, Kurt, why all these weird anomalies? He tried to commit suicide once and oh, by golly, we stopped him. Then we lost the footage, and then well, we found the footage, and don't worry, though, we put him alone the second time. You know, we took the suicide guy that was going to be, you know, and we just left him alone. Why did we do that? See, everything just doesn't add up to me. And the more I hear about this thing, the more I have to question it. As sad as that is. All right, Kurt wants to talk about the mayor of Yuma, Arizona. Kurt?
Yeah, let's see, the mayor of Yuma, let me see if I can find that one. How far back was that one?
Heck if I know, man, you send me so many stories, you don't date them or anything. I know. I have no idea how to tell you that, but I'll just tell you the story then.
All right, good.
The mayor of Yuma, Arizona, I guess he declared a state of emergency down there, and he specifically credited President Donald J. Trump and the administration for implementing appropriate policies that led to the significant reduction in illegal border crossings. And so now it's not a state of emergency like it once was, Kurt. Now, the guy's name is Douglas Nichols, and he's giving a lot of credit. And he's having a meeting with the acting Secretary of Homeland Security, Ken Cuccinelli, and stuff like that. And he initially withdrew his city's emergency proclamation declaring that the number of illegal crossings were consuming the town's resources. It's reached more manageable levels, he wrote in a prepared statement, Kurt. Well, good for Yuma Mayor Douglas Nichols. And what I really want to commend about this mayor, sadly, this should just be common sense, Kurt, right? In other words, well, normally you would think it'd just be like, hey, this is great news. Let's give credit where credit's due. But it's so rare that anybody will give Trump credit for anything that this Doug guy's going out on a limb. But I commend him, and he's right for a change, Kurt.
Good point. Yeah. Yeah, that's exactly
right. And in my opinion, it's a pretty interesting story. He talks about the president's strategy to address the crisis at the southern border, particularly Central American families. Well, they say communities like Yuma are directly seeing the results of our efforts. And the mayor agrees. I'm just telling you, I don't even know how to respond to that. Mm-hmm. But for Christmas, it's good news. You want to know why, folks? Because they're illegal border crossings. We're not into the illegal plan, folks. Liberty Roundtable Live.
Liberty is not free. Its costs are innumerable. Without monetary funding, the valiant efforts of freedom-loving Americans become diminished or outright defeated. We present a solution, the Give Me Liberty Fund. The plan is quite simple. Invite individual Americans to contribute less than a dollar a day. These monetary funds are used to promote liberty-minded media, organizations, events, candidates, movements, and speakers. In the spirit of transparency, all expenditures are published. Patriotic business owners provide discounted products and services to Give Me Liberty Fund members. Our greatest strength is in numbers. Go to GiveMeLibertyFund.com and become part of the solution today. GiveMeLibertyFund.com. Participate in the peaceful restoration of the greatest and freest country in the world.
Kosher. Certified. Put the two words together to get co-certified, which is spelled with an S-E-H instead of just S-H. It's the right way to spell this, the German way, and it made it easier to trademark. Now, did I tell you that the letters S-C-H still make the shh sound, as in all those American food producers saying, shh, let's keep it really quiet that our product is kosher certified. Think about it. Nearly one century of kosher certification, and hardly anyone outside exclusive observers knows that most packaged food and kitchen products are literally certified by religious intermediaries. Well, because you, consumer, are indirectly paying for this, the Kosher-tified app is here to make kosher certification awareness an inclusive matter for people of all faiths and identities, and it even boasts a unique database of products not kosher certified. We call that NKC. Start memeing it. It's fun. NKC, not kosher certified. Now, to confuse our audience even more, we put a question mark at the end of our name, and that really cinched our trademark approval. It relates to the website where you can begin your new shopping behavior, thekosherquestion.com.
All right. Sadly, in America, the cops have been taking a beating, too, by the anti-Trumpites and more. The police have been under what do you call it, Kurt, when you just can never measure up scenario? Unobtainable might be the term, reality for police officers. They've got a very difficult job. They've got to make split-second decisions and everything else. And oftentimes, people just aren't very kind to the police officers, especially Antifa and some of those folks are really hostile to the police. I agree sometimes police are over the top. And sometimes what their acts are not defensible. But most of the time, I think the police do a wonderful job in America. And Donald Trump even referred to this in his presidential Christmas message. We're grateful for law enforcement and for the wonderful job they do. And I think that day in and day out, they do so many good things. And people are just kind of so used to when something goes bad, then they tell you all about it. When it goes good, people don't say much. And so it's a rarity when people speak up. But in this case, they have. And we celebrate it, Kurt.
Well, that's right, Sam. And this piece coming to us from the Boys of the Western Journal by way of WorldNet Daily. Headline reads, wife shares photo of cop praying with her grieving husband after he pulled, after they were pulled over as, this lady and her husband, I mean, her husband had lost his brother, and they were heading to, to the morgue, basically, to kind of work on that. And I guess...
well, they're headed to the funeral, right, Kurt?
Well, it... Yeah, basically, you know, to take care of things and stuff, all this. And says they were pulled over for a non-speeding violation, according to the Facebook post. The policeman asked the couple where they were traveling to, and they responded that they were driving to Dallas due to a death in the family. James told Bates that her husband's brother had died. The trooper didn't skip a beat. He said, "Oh, I'm sorry to hear that. Do you know where he is?" And they...
Let's make this question a little more poignant. So the cop basically says, "Hey, I'm so sorry to hear that. Do you know where your dead brother is?"
Yeah.
And the point is, this is a Christian moment. This wasn't a flippant remark or whatever. It was a respectful question, right?
And the husband answered, "Yes," at the morgue. And the officer responded, "No, he's now in his heavenly home." Says the divinely timed answer brought tears to the grieving couple's eyes. "At this point, my husband and I are both moved to tears because his brother's death was very unexpected." James said the trooper then went back to his vehicle, wrote a warning instead of a ticket, and gave it to the couple. The warning wasn't the only blessing the officer gave, however. This guy, the officer who had recently been ordained as a Christian deacon, asked the lady and her husband if he could pray over him. "He removed his hat, asked to hold our hands, and he prayed with us," she wrote. She said, "I've never had this happen before, but it was everything that we needed in that moment." She said the actions were particularly meaningful amid such high tensions between peace officers and the black community, so she felt compelled to document the moment with a photo. "There's just so much in the news with the negativity and the police killings and the racial tension. It's a lot," she told KHOU, I guess it's a Houston station there. Bates said in a statement to the outlet that he was humbled by James's kind words. "While I was on patrol, I met a family in need. They were mourning the unexpected loss of a loved one, and I'm humbled that my actions had a positive impact on their lives during this difficult time." He said, "As a state trooper, I've met many people who have shared their stories with me. Often I don't hear about the impact I've had on them. I'm truly humbled by the kind words of Mrs. James, and I will always be grateful that our brief interaction had a positive impact on their family."
Amen to that. Now, Kurt, I sure hope the naysayers and the antichrists don't run around and wreak havoc, you know, try to get him fired for, you know, giving hope to a family or anything. But I think it was tremendous. That just makes me happy.
Couldn't agree more, Sam.
So anyway, great news coming out of Texas?
Yes.
That's where they were there. Down there in Texas. All right. I guess doctors are now resisting the attempts to force them to do abortions. Planned Parenthood-led lawsuits overturned Trump conscience rule, Kurt. Christian doctors are now opposing the attempt by leftist several states to force them to do abortions in violations of their beliefs and their conscience. This is a serious, serious discussion, Kurt.
Yes, Sam, and our buddies there at the nonprofit legal group Beckett are right in the middle of this one again. And the headline, like you said, says doctors resist attempt to force them to do abortions, and Planned Parenthood-led lawsuit overturned Trump conscience rule. Christian doctors are opposing an attempt by the left in several states to force them to do abortions in violation of their beliefs and conscience. So, at least they're fighting back, and, there's the doctors don't want to do it. So it's kind of cool to see they're working hard on this. Man, it seems like the battle continues every day, doesn't it?
Yes, and it's the battle's frustrating, and it can get to where it's just discouraging and stuff. I understand that. But, folks, let me just explain here. You know, if nobody stands up, evil prospers. And the good news here is that the Beckett Fund, and I know they don't want a lot of coverage, so I'll just say good people, along with these doctors and nurses and medical professionals, they're resisting the attempts to force them to do these abortions. They don't want to do them, Kurt. And they're clearly standing up for their rights and the defense of their conscience. If they don't have their conscience and the right to obey the dictates of their own conscience, Kurt, you know, religious liberty is seriously in jeopardy. And so this is a very serious battle, and I commend these people for standing up. I don't really like the lawsuits, and I don't like the war exactly. But I commend them for their stance, and I'm glad they're not doing nothing, Kurt. I'm glad they're not just slinking away and going, oh, we've lost another one. I'm glad they're standing up and saying, no, this is worth defense. This is worth preservation. This is worth fighting for. And I commend all of them. Now, shame on Planned Parenthood, Kurt. But I commend these doctors, and it's more than just doctors, though. It's a whole group of medical professionals that are fighting this. And I'm glad they have an advocate who has funding, the Beckett Fund, to truly stand for them. I pray we have another win there.
Amen.
All right. You got to commend this donor, Kurt. I guess a donor gives a school district $60,000 to help pay off what, student lunch debt? A donor
right.
in Colorado is going on.
That's right, Aurora, Colorado. They presented a school district with a much needed gift to help students and their families this holiday season. Canvas Credit Union CEO there, a guy's name is Todd Marksberry. He surprised the Aurora Public Schools with a check for $60,000. According to the Denver Post, the article stated the money will help pay off the lunch debt at all Title I schools in Aurora, freeing up desperately needed funds elsewhere, they say. And I guess when he dropped off the gift at the Lansing Elementary School, Principal Jennifer Murtha said about 6% of her students come from homeless families, so the check was truly a Christmas miracle. The credit union's website stated that its purpose was to be a leader in the community and make sure families are on a path to becoming financially stable. They said the site reads this, we strive to help individuals and families make better decisions and grow stronger financially. They added that they wanted to be known for its people and their heart for others. And I guess the Aurora Public Schools tweeted a photo of this. You know, they said the debt can get into six figures when you can cut into that. It frees up resources to hire teachers, to provide more curriculum, you know. But the thing I love about this story, Sam, is just one more example of private act of charity. Nobody's forcing it. And then the other thing is the media is actually covering it.
Sam. Amen to that.
They're not covering it like they ought to. But
and Canvas Credit Union will probably get business from this, and they deserve it.
Yeah.
And I think it's wonderful and good job for the CEO over there. Now, they said a few things, though, that I'm afraid that our enemies might grab onto. This one guy's like, hey, I can provide Christmas for my kids now. Instead of worrying about how to take care of the lunch debt, you know, can you say that kind of stuff? I commend them, and I love it. I think that's wonderful. Then they say this, though, Kurt. I mean, they go way over the top. It's phenomenal. We need more of it. Listen, it's a blessing that helps out not only my kid, but every student at our school. It takes a load off. So they're, you know, talking about acts of kindness. They're talking about blessings. They're talking about Christmas. America, God is alive and well. Let's act like it. And these people are leading the charge, and I dig it. Hold on.
Protecting your liberties. You're listening to Liberty News Radio. USA Radio News with Chris Barnes.
Another busy day for traveling, especially at the nation's airports. Airlines for America says it expects nearly 3 million travelers to fly today and tomorrow. As for highway traffic, congestion's expected to reach its peak in several cities today, including New York, L.A., and Chicago. Tomorrow will be the worst travel day on the highways around Houston, Boston, and Seattle. A Republican U.S. senator saying she's disturbed by Majority Leader Mitch McConnell's comments that he's acting in total coordination with the White House to set up an impeachment trial to determine if President Trump should be removed from office. Lisa Murkowski says the Senate must be impartial during any such trial.
It means that we have to take that step back from being hand in glove with the defense.
This is USA Radio News.
Here is some great news. If you missed the deadline to sign up for health insurance, or if you sign up for a plan that you're just not happy with, you still have a choice. It's called MediShare. It's the affordable alternative to health insurance, and it's worked beautifully for 25 years. They have more than 400,000 members now around the country. MediShare is a Christian healthcare sharing ministry, and over the years, members have shared over $3 billion of each other's medical bills, so they could help share your needs too. And best of all, you could save a lot of money with MediShare. The typical savings for a family is about $500 a month. Your savings could be more or less, but think about what you could do with that extra money every month. You're not stuck with a high-cost health plan. You can join MediShare anytime, so call them today and check it out. Here's the number to find out more, and there's no pressure. They are super easy to talk to. Call 833-34-BIBLE. That's 833-34-BIBLE. 833-34-BIBLE.
President Trump's unleashing attacks on a couple of political rivals in California, tweeting this morning that House Speaker Nancy Pelosi is crazy and that California Governor Gavin Newsom is incompetent. Trump saying Pelosi's San Francisco district suffers from homelessness and crime and is one of the worst districts in the nation. He criticized her also for the House impeaching him earlier this month. Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu hustled off a campaign event stage after a rocket attack in the vicinity. Netanyahu did return to the stage and warned those responsible to start packing their things. And a few hours later, Israel launched a series of airstrikes against Hamas targets in Gaza. Four people found dead inside a home north of Albuquerque on Christmas Day. Indications are it was a murder-suicide. This is USA Radio News.
All right, Merry Christmas. We're extending the holiday a little bit. It is the 26th, but we're talking about things of Christ, things of prayer, things of blessings, things of hope. Yeah, Canvas Credit Unions give school districts $60,000 to pay off lunch debt. People are saying it's a blessing and an answer to prayers, and good for them. They're spot on right about that. I guess 24 years ago, doctors gave her 2 weeks to live. Now she's competing for Miss America, Kurt. Another what, story of hope?
Well, I think so. Tiffany Seitz, or anyway, S-E-I-T-Z, she's 24, and like you say, competing in the Miss America pageant. She was supposed to die before her first birthday. If they say she did survive, she was supposed to have severe mental and physical disabilities. But, well, she was crowned Miss Pennsylvania earlier this year. She's defied the odds, and she's now an advocate for foster care and adoption. She was born on the streets in August 95, addicted to cocaine, a helpless infant struggling to detox from a powerful drug addiction. That was not her fault. Obviously, a child, they say, she says, in that type of condition would be in the NICU getting treatment, she told People magazine. But sadly, that wasn't the case for me. I was waiting in the streets alone while my mother was out prostituting, trying to make money. It's a rotten shame, but that was the reality for me. Anyway, they go on and talk about there in the city of brotherly love. She says with my family, she was placed in foster care, went to live with a family from Freeport, Pennsylvania. and what was supposed to be a temporary living arrangement. They said, would you be interested in taking this little girl in for a weekend? You know, she's cocaine positive. She's not expected to live long, but we need to put her somewhere because the home situation is bad. The weekend foster care arrangement turned into a long-term placement. And when she was 2.5 years old, she was formally adopted by Len and Lori Seitz, a couple who had spent years raising children through the foster care system. Lori quit her job as a nurse to devote her time and energy to the daughter, homeschooling her until she was in sixth grade. Len and Lori had been told to prepare for their daughter to have severe delays, but she never presented any physical or mental challenges or symptoms. The mom said, I'm so grateful that my parents have given me so much. This girl said, I'm so grateful that my parents have given me so much opportunities that I wouldn't have had it not been for the gift of adoption.
Amen to Tiffany.
Adoption, Sam. Yeah.
So we're promoting adoption. We're promoting people caring and doing great stuff. And, hey, you can't write off this girl. Now she's competing for Miss America, Kurt. Imagine that.
That's right. That's pretty cool, huh?
Yes, it is. And, again, this just goes to show when good people step in, what can be accomplished, Kurt. We're doing good things all over the world, all over the country. We just got to tell people about them, man.
Yeah, homeschooled kid makes good, Sam says. I shouldn't be competing for the title of Miss America. I wasn't supposed to have the job of Miss Pennsylvania. I wasn't supposed to graduate college or high school. I wasn't supposed to live beyond 2 weeks, but God had a different plan. And I'm grateful for the opportunity to share with America what got me to where I am, what the gift of adoption has done for me.
I hope she doesn't have to forfeit Miss America for talking about adoption and God and stuff, Kerry.
Good point. This, by the way, of the Western Journal through the WorldNet Daily, folks.
Well, I commend both of them, too. Where's the mainstream press on this one? Shouldn't this be an incredible Christmas story about life and adoption and success and stability and, you know, this lady getting on there talking about God for Christmas and everything? I mean, what a Christmas present, Kurt.
Couldn't agree more, Sam. Yeah.
That's fantastic. Just phenomenal.
So, yeah.
Well, Tiffany, we are glad you're alive. We are grateful and delighted with your accomplishments. And we're grateful that you've been adopted. And I wish we could somehow make your story go viral, sister. I wish we could make your story be the answer to when women feel overwhelmed that they're pregnant and they wish they weren't or they shouldn't be for whatever reason or whatever, that we could say, listen, look at Tiffany's story. And that could be your baby's story, young lady, young man, whoever, you know, whatever. This could be the story of your baby. I know you don't know what to do. I know you're young. I know you've made some serious mistakes. Let's get you the love and the help and the support that you need from Christians. And let's get this baby in a home where they have the best opportunity possible to be somebody. And I don't mean somebody like a rock star. I mean somebody like a servant of God. You know, this lady's already given God the credit. I wasn't supposed to be here to all these places. But God has a different plan for me, she says. What a tremendous role model. What an example. What a solution. All wrapped up into one phenomenal story, right? And I wish we had more of it. I wish we had greater media access to just take these stories to the stars from those folks that are running around with shock and claws, you know, random acts of kindness, all the way down to, you know, Canvas Credit Union giving these schools some, you know, take care of the lunches for folks, you know, doctors standing up to say, I don't want to do abortions. I mean, those stories are related, right? This lady that gets adopted versus the abortion or whatever. You know, why sharing a photo of a cop praying with a man who lost a family member? You know, and now Rand Paul's in the news releasing this, what do they call it, the festive edition, Kurt?
Yeah, they call Festivus. It the Festivus edition of the Waste Report. They say it's Americans' tax dollars used to hook zebra fish on nicotine. That's kind of rough.
Zebra fish on nicotine. So let me get this straight. We're basically using our dollars to say, kids, get off nicotine. And then we're using our dollars to hook fish on nicotine?
Yeah, good point. Okay. Some of the other ones, they say highlights of the report include building up Tunisia's political system and the Pakistani film industry, funding research that involves, what we talked about, the zebrafish, then continuing to turn over taxpayer dollars to the Washington Metropolitan Area Transit Authority, sending low-quality textbooks to Afghan students, supporting green growth in Peru, and studying frog mating calls. So that's your tax dollars at work, Sam.
Well, nothing like a frog mating call for Christmas there, Kurt, you know?
Right. Uh-huh, good boy.
But I am grateful for frog mating calls, though, Kurt. You want to know why?
Multiply and replenish the earth?
Yeah, that's God's way, Kurt. Okay, God created fantastic. The frogs and the way that they, you know, populate and procreate and multiply and replenish. Yeah. And I just wish humans could be that simple and do the same.
Imagine that.
All right, Pierce Brosnan, is that who this is, Kurt?
Yeah, a guy who, you know, played James Bond. He's been in a lot of other movies and things like that.
Yeah, I wouldn't know about headline, that, but, you know.
Well, a headline from Breitbart says, what Trump
has done. Oh, this guy's
going
to lose
done.
His career.
Yeah, well, he's older now, Sam, so I think he, 66 years old now, so he's probably pretty much thinking, hey, I'm really not got much of big roles in front of me. But anyway, Pierce Brosnan, the former James Bond star, has conceded. He says what Trump has done for the economy is very good.
And that's where we agree with him and it stops, I guess.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. There's some other kind of crazy stuff in there. But,
well, he says stuff like this, Kurt. Yeah. He says, hey, the known environmentalist urged Trump to heed the rallying call of the young people on the issue of climate change. Now, I assume he's talking about, what's that little girl's name? Greta?
Yeah, that's right.
Okay. But my kids and the younger generation that I know, Kurt, they care about the environment. All right. But they don't believe that government is the answer to the problems. He says he has to get out of the coal business, the oil business, he explained. Now, listen, it's just devouring the earth around us, and there's other ways. We've seen it from other societies, other cultures. Okay, then he goes on, and I was right. I didn't even get to read the rest of the story, but then he doubles down and praises Greta Thunberg, and, you know, there you have it. He refused to reveal who he's supporting for president. We shall see. But there you have it, Kurt. I don't know what to say about a guy like this. I mean, I appreciate him admitting the economy's good. At least he's honest enough to admit that instead of just, you know, down Trump at every turn. But I don't agree with this idea about, you know, the oil business or whatever else. I don't agree that we just got to shut all these things down. Kurt, we don't have replaceable technologies. If we were to get rid of oil and gas tomorrow and stuff, we don't have any technology that could replace it at all, Kurt. Not even close. All right, Liberty Roundtable Live.
Attention Liberty News Radio listeners. Hard-hitting talk radio has never been and never will be supported by the mainstream in America. Hard-hitting talk radio is taking on the mainstream press like never before. News the networks refuse to use is one of the best ways to educate people. We invite all liberty-loving Americans to join with us to restore the principles of our founding fathers and promote God, family, and country in the media and our lives. Please help spread the Liberty message with your generous donation. You can go online at libertynewsradio.com right now and make a donation online. Or call 801-756-9133 and make a donation over the phone. That's libertynewsradio.com and 801-756-9133. Make a donation today.
Scott Bradley here. Most Americans are painfully aware that the nation is on the wrong track and in dire straits. Unfortunately, most political pundits only nibble around the edges when they claim to address the issues. Even worse, many of the so-called solutions are simply rewarmed servings of what got us into the mess we currently face. And the politicians think we're so gullible and naive that we'll buy their lies that they have reformed and now understand where they led us astray. Unfortunately, the truth of the matter is that they simply wish to continue to hold power. The solution to America's challenges is found in returning to the timeless principles found in the United States Constitution. My book and lecture series will reawaken in Americans an understanding and love of the principles which made this nation the freest, most prosperous, happiest, and most respected nation on earth. Visit topreservethenation.com and order my book and lectures to begin the restoration of this great nation.
All right, so if we want to heed the call of young people, maybe they ought to take a page out of this playbook, Kurt. Climate protesters try to stop a coal train. I guess they learned an important lesson about momentum. They got a lesson in physics. There you go. Pierce Brosnan was saying, hey, listen to the youngsters. And then the youngsters are trying to stop a coal train? Sounds like a song, you know?
Yeah, that's right. I guess the coal trains, you know, when you get all that weight going, Sam, gravity, I guess, or momentum, like you say, is a little bit tough to stop. And that's what the headline, this is, I guess, WBUR, besides the Western Journal and the guys at worldnetdaily.com bring us this piece. Climate protesters try to stop coal train, learn important lesson about momentum. A group of climate protesters, they got this lesson in basic physics. They attempted to stop a moving freight train loaded down with coal. This occurred after these activists were trying to stop this cargo in Massachusetts. It doesn't appear anyone was hurt despite the potentially deadly nature of the stunt. According to WBUR, the protesters jumped away from the tracks when the train was a mere 50 feet away. A train carrying coal to New Hampshire nearly ran over a dozen climate activists who tried to block it in Worcester. I think that's how you say it. I think they say Worcester back there. But anyway, WBUR's Miriam Wasser tweeted, this happened after someone farther south on the tracks called the emergency hotline twice to report there were people on the tracks. And the train carrying coal to New Hampshire nearly ran over these dozen climate activists, but I guess they're safe. The protesters belong to groups, they say, that have made a habit of blockading coal shipments in New England. That'll make it a little cooler in New England, Sam. Anyway, according to 350 New Hampshire, the train crew knew protesters were on the tracks and simply refused to stop. I think a lot of times you can't just stop those trains on a dime.
Yeah, and how do you define refusal?
They stay here. Of course, they say anyone who knows the first thing about trains can tell you that these industrial behemoths can't stop on a dime or a quarter or a nickel, I'd say. Depending on the cargo weight and the speed of the train, it can take miles for one of these massive machines to come to a complete halt. They say until the train stops, there's not much that can slow it down. With a full load, trains can weigh millions of pounds. So that's where they get that little training there in momentum, say.
Yeah, a little, anyway, little bit of a physics 101 kind of
deal. Yeah, okay. That's right.
Because they say right, basic physics, right?
Yeah,
you know.
That's right.
Uh-huh. Got a lesson in basic physics there now, Kurt. And then this other guy's like, hey, man, listen to these youngsters. It's like, what? Now, I get that we want to change and move to more environmentally friendly technologies. I support the effort, Kurt. Don't misunderstand me. I'm not just like anti-climate or anti-environment or whatever. But I realize that there is no, if you take away coal and natural gas and oil tomorrow, I don't know what we would do, Kurt. Our whole society would throw back to the 1800s or something. Okay, we don't have the infrastructure or the ability. None of these technologies are viable. And even the ones that you say, Sam, wait a minute, wind and solar and some of these are viable. My response is no, they're not. Because all you do is you go to a different area of destroying the environment to make these solar panels, to make these wind turbines. And you create other environmental problems. For example, the turbines are killing the birds. And they even have laws that if turbines kill too many birds, they have to be taken down and because they're in a wrong spot and stuff. Okay, so we're not at all ready for this, Kurt. We don't have any ability to truly take care of the environment with our current use of energy, with our current lifestyles and circumstances. The only way. Now, what's interesting about this is while Pierce Brosnan is saying, hey, heed the rallying call of young people like Greta Thunberg on the issue of climate change, these climate protesters that tried to stop the train, Kurt, how are they communicating and doing all that they're doing?
See, that's a key part of the story that's way down in the story. It says, perhaps most hypocritical is the technology these climate activists use to spread their message. Unless these protesters are running their electronics off a solar charger, there's a good chance that the trains being stopped are delivering coal that will go to power the very devices used to further their cause.
But even if they're not, Kurt, to develop the chargers, to develop the solar panels, right, to develop the cell phones they're on and the computers and whatever electronics they're using to exchange information. Okay, just to create those. How do you create those, Kurt?
That's exactly right.
You got to get stuff out of the earth. You got to mine. You got to get ore. You got to get all these different things to build plastics and manufacturing and molding. And when you put all that together, I'm not even convinced it's better for the environment at all.
Well, and the other thing you've got to remember, Sam, that they don't want to bring up in this story or almost any story, and that is if the people of the earth, God's children, will keep the commandments of God, then the God of heaven has said that the earth has enough and to spare. So, that's a pretty basic thing.
Supply it's only if you accept God, Kurt.
I know, and that's what the big issue is, isn't it?
Yeah, that's exactly right. That's what I think. And I think we should care for the environment. We should try to clean up our environmental, problems. And I don't have any problem with that effort. I have every problem with the deceptive way we're going about it. And what we really do is we say the government's our last resort of solution. And in that comes control and the denial of liberty. That's where my issues are. All right, two quick stories before the end of the hour. First off, one is Federal Reserve. He's a governor, I guess, of the Federal Reserve. His name is Lael Drainard. Is that how you say it, Kurt? He blasts Facebook's Libra currency.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, that's right. Now, if you're not familiar with what Facebook's Libra currency is, it's just Facebook's kind of idea of Bitcoin, right, Sam? So this Federal Reserve governor, who is basically in charge of funny money for, America, and even the world, one of those guys, he's criticizing Facebook's digital currency. I guess he argued that Facebook's digital currency project is going to face numerous regulatory challenges. Well, you'd know about it. Before, he says, it could be considered viable for public use, according to a report by Reuters. U.S. Federal Reserve Governor Lael Brainard is taking aim at Facebook's digital currency project called Libra. He remarks on Libra did note that Libra would have a substantial advantage over other digital currencies due to its access to Facebook's multi-billion user platform. However, Brainard went on to say that digital currencies like Libra could put consumers at risk when they are used on a global scale. And I would ask this guy right there, what about fake money, paper money? Would that put consumers at risk, on a global scale? But anyway, back to the article. It says, what would set Facebook's Libra apart if it were to proceed is the combination of an active user network representing more than a third of the global population with the issuance of a private digital currency opaquely tied to a basket of sovereign currencies. He went on to say, without requisite safeguards, stablecoin networks at global scale may put consumers at risk. You want to translate any of that for us, Sam?
I don't really know how to translate it, except for to say that, you know, look, the reality here is we cannot be discussing this and discussing the moral hazard that it is unless we're going to put, as you alluded to, Kurt, which is to put honest money at the center of the discussion. Otherwise, the discussion's meaningless. Okay, so what are we going to just say? Government fake money's fine when every government that's had fake money fails? Okay, so my take, Kurt, on this is you need to put honest money in the discussion. And if you don't, I'm not here to debate which fiat currency's worse or better. They're all bogus. And I guess, would you rather trust Facebook or the government? I guess I don't trust Facebook at all. But I'd almost have to go with Facebook, Kurt.
Great point. And,
not that I'm defending Facebook.
Calls them fake book, you know. But it's interesting when you think about it. Nancy Pelosi brings up the Constitution and all that kind of stuff, it seems like, and so many others. And yet, how come nobody brings up the Constitution, Article 1, Section 10, simple phrase, no state shall make anything but gold and silver coin a tender in payment of debts. I mean, these fancy, that those words are easy for me to understand. These fancy words that Mr. Brainerd, you know, has just brought up is like a bunch of gobbledygook and stuff where you makes you think, well, gosh, I got to leave that to these experts who understand, you know, all about money and stuff. And yet, it's just kind of like the Wizard of Oz behind the curtains that, you know, at least to me, you know, it's just a bunch of smoke and mirrors, Sam.
Yes, it is. All right, let's finish the final story of the hour, ladies and gentlemen. Without disclosing, no, let's see, let's start out. The Chinese economy, or I'm sorry, the Chinese Communist Party, Kurt, published hundreds of propaganda articles designed to look like legitimate news stories in the New York Times, Washington Post, Wall Street Journal, and other newspapers without disclosing its purchases as required by federal law. How do you want to respond to this, Kurt?
Well, Sam, this is just the same old stuff, at least to me. It's, you know, they make these rules and laws that are made and pretty much the only people who keep them are the law-abiding citizens. You know, you and me and, you know, some good freedom-loving Americans. And yet, does China follow it? Does the New York Times follow it? Do the, you know what I mean? When they're bringing in cash, like you say, they publish these propaganda items. And, you know, the New York Times communist government, you know, I mean, the China communist government flouts U.S. law to influence policy. That would be kind of like vote fraud again, wouldn't it, Sam?
Well, I would say so. But, of course, there is no vote fraud. So, you know, I'd just be a conspiracy theorist at that point. See, I mean, that's what this is the propaganda that we find ourselves in on a continual basis, Kurt.
And there's what they call the Washington Free Beacon. And the Free Beacon said that China Daily, which is, by the way, you know, owned by the Chinese Communist Party. So China Daily has run more than 700 online ads designed to look like news articles and purchased 500 print pages in six American newspapers. I don't think they've called you, have they, Sam?
No, sir. And the other question that I would ask the Donald is, he says that the New York Times is a threat and should be shut down. Now with this evidence, are you going to start arresting some folks, Donald? Just wondering, I mean, can we really Steve Stockman and arrest a couple of these communist Chinese and a couple of these newspaper leaders that are taking the pay-to-play cash, Kurt, and defying federal law and not, you know, disclosing it as required by federal law, Kurt? Mm-hmm. See, all the good guys are in jail and the bad guys run around free, Donald. Come on, baby. Sit down with Sam and Kurt and drink a virgin eggnog, if you will, and let's talk about it. Come on, Donald.
Make America great again.
All right, for Sam and Kurt, yeah. Donate today, would you please, at LibertyRoundtable.com. Every penny will be used to tell our tale in the media and grow our presence. LibertyRoundtable.com. God save the Republic of the United States of America.